Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
Did you get the email I sent you?
Which one?
All of them.
No, it's not going to be one of those days.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we got here just in time, so you haven't seen page two, so you have no clue what the topic is.
Oh, good gracious. Well, shall we proceed?
Yes, we shall.
All right.
We shall proceed with national holidays.
Serendipity.
Yes. What?
Serendipity.
I was related to someone named Serendipity.
Doo-da!
Anyway, holidayinsights.com says that this week, the week of October 2nd through 8th, October 2nd is Name Your Car Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't name my car, but I named my GPS.
Doesn't every guy name his car Betsy?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to know what I named my GPS?
No.
Thelma.
Thelma?
Thelma.
Why?
Like Thelma and Louise.
Get lost all the time?
Yep.
Okay.
October 3rd is Techies Day.
Ta-da!
This is
our national holiday.
It's dedicated to you. Techies Day is your chance to give your friendly technicians some well-deserved appreciation.
Bring it on. The office technician may be a geek, but when your PC goes down or gets a virus, that geek is invaluable. He's on top of his trade and he can get your system back up and running faster than you can say, Gigabyte.
Not to be left out, this day is for all technicians, not just computer techies. There are many high-skilled technical jobs out there that demand high-quality people to assess equipment of all kinds. Let's give a big hand and thanks to all techies from all fields on this special day.
And make sure that your techie knows that he or she is appreciated. Give them a big TY, maybe a token gift, or just send an e-card. Taking good care of your techie will reap you dividends when you need him or her the most.
All hail Dave Binkley.
Ta-da.
That's our techie. we love you, Dave. We really do.
All righty.
Okay, October 3rd is also Virus Appreciation Day.
Wait a minute. Techie Day and Virus Appreciation Day?
Virus Appreciation Day gives us the opportunity to show a little respect for nasty viruses.
Respect? You want to give viruses respect? I should think not. Rather, let's give them a good dose of penicillin.
What if they're allergic to it?
Sucks to be them.
Unfortunately, the creators of this day did not identify themselves, nor did they leave a record of what kind of viruses we are supposed to appreciate on this day. Human, animal, and computer viruses readily come to mind. We sure can appreciate the seriousness and significance of both human and computer viruses, and we can worry that animal, aka bird flu, viruses may jump over to affect humans.
So, let's dedicate today to appreciating that viruses can be very serious, if not deadly. Let's then take measures to protect ourselves, our loved ones, and even our computers to minimize the risk of a serious virus.
Perhaps Virus Appreciation Day would be better titled Virus Awareness and Protection Day. That would make more sense.
Politically correct.
Or it could be Go See Contagion Day. The movie Contagion just came out. Was that a segue or what?
Oh, what a segue.
What a segue.
Ooh.
No, that's not the topic.
No. Birthdays this week from holidaysinsight.com.
These are hints.
October 5th, 1882, Robert Hutchins Goddard, father of the space age. October 6th, 1846, George Westinghouse, engineer, inventor, developer. He developed AC electric power. And October 7th, 1943, Oliver North, National Security Council.
Hmm. And these are not hints.
Okay.
This day in history from holidayinsights.com. October 2nd, 1950, Peanuts comic strip by Charles Schulz first appeared in newspapers. I love that one. Here, let me hold that football for you, Joe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. October 5th, 1921, the first World Series was broadcast on radio.
And it's a home run.
That was kind of an anemic home run.
Well, I didn't want to go for the goal routine, you know, for soccer. Goal!
Okay. October 6, 1967, the first physician's assistants graduated from Duke University. I love my physician assistant. Thank you, Tony, out there somewhere.
And they've never been the same ever since.
That's right. And October 6, 1889, Thomas Edison showed the first motion picture.
Ta-da!
And it might have been about Facebook. You know, that social network movie?
Nah.
No? Okay. Mm-mm. So, any idea on the theme for today?
See, we have a rocket with electricity and Oliver North. Yeah. So, we have government infringement upon the ability to go into flight. Therefore, it's computers.
You got it. You're getting good at this.
Oh, that was a joke.
Oh.
It is computers, isn't it?
It is computers.
Cool.
Yes, yes, it certainly is. And our curious saying or word for the day from, I found a new place.
Uh-oh.
Templetons.com.
Templetons.
Templetons, and I think it's because the guy's name is like Bob Templeton or something.
Do you realize Templeton is a rat?
Well, I mean, he's had some indiscretions in the past, but I wouldn't
call
him a rat.
You don't know which movie I'm talking about,
do
you?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Charlotte's Web.
Oh.
Templeton was the rat.
Okay.
They kept sending him to go collect stuff.
Oh.
And the voiceover was done by?
You?
No. Charles Nelson Reilly, I believe.
Oh. Cool. Very cool. Anyway, Templetons.com. Woo-hoo. I just see a little segue there.
Yeah.
Templetons.com says that our word for the day is spam.
Spam, spam, spam,
oh,
spam.
Oh, you get
spam,
to do that later.
Spam.
Stop.
Oh,
you didn't.
Sorry.
I'll cue you when you do that.
Cool.
Anyway, much to the chagrin of Hormel Foods, maker of canned shoulder pork and ham / spiced ham, which is where spam came from, luncheon meat, the term spam has today come to mean network abuse, particularly junk email and massive junk postings to Usenet.
How did the term get this meaning? Most people have some vague awareness that it comes from the first... From at first a spam skit by Monty Python's Flying Circus. In that sketch, a restaurant serves all of its food with lots of spam, and the waitress repeats the word several times in describing how much spam is in the items. When she does this, a group of Vikings in the corner start a song. Spam, 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 lovely spam, wonderful spam.
Until someone is telling him to shut up.
And he have spam, 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 egg spam, spam, and more spam.
The theme for the day is slowly degenerating into Monty Python, isn't it?
Ew, of course not.
Okay, you
don't
can...
Don't worry, I'll eat your spam.
Spam.
I like spam.
But I do have your spam. But I do have spam, 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 spam.
Help.
Spray eggs and spam.
Help, I'm being held hostage by two crazy men in a radio studio.
Ew, it's just spamming a little bit.
Thus the meaning of the term, at least. Something that keeps repeating and repeating and repeating to great annoyance. Gee, how did the two get connected, Joe?
In April of 1994, the term was not born, but it did jump a great deal in popularity when two lawyers from Phoenix named Carter, Cantor, and Siegel posted a message advertising their fairly useless services in the upcoming U.S. Green Card Lottery. This wasn't the first such abusive posting, nor the mass posting to be called spam, but it was the first deliberately mass posting to commonly get that name. They had posted their message a few times before, but on April 12th, they hired a mercenary program to write a simple script to post the ad to every single news group, message board, on Usenet, the world's largest online conference system. There are several thousand such news groups, and each one got an ad.
Quickly, people identified it as spam, and the word caught on. Future multiple postings soon got the appellation, which has nothing to do with mountains. Some people also applied it to individual unwanted ads that weren't posted again and again, though generally it was associated with the massive flood of the same message. It turns out, however, that the term had been in use for some time before the famous green card flood. Later, some particularly nasty folks figured they could take mass emailing software, which had been around for decades to handle mailing lists, and use it to send junk email to large audiences who hadn't asked for it. The term quickly came to be used to describe these unwanted junk mails, and indeed, that is the most common use of the term today.
By the way,
yes.
Hormel eventually gave up complaining about the new definition for their trademark and decided to embrace the fact it boosted sales of their merchandise.
Yes. So we did a good thing for Hormel without even knowing it.
Yes, and I'm getting ready to actually go buy that plant up in Wisconsin.
What?
Hormel.
You're buying the Hormel plant?
No, I'm going by it. I'm driving by it.
You're going to buy it? Like, no, well, what are you doing radio on a public radio station,
I'm going to
baby?
Do a drive-by of the plant here shortly.
pick me up some samples.
Yeah. They also make Hormel chili there.
Now that gives me indigestion.
With no beans.
Okay.
All right.
We have a top five list.
Which means we have...
12.
Yes. I love that. Top five, but it means 12, which means... Never mind.
From top5.com, and I have a little side note here.
Side note?
Yes.
Dun-da-da-da.
Chris White. Fearless leader and maker of top five list.
Mm-hmm.
He just reworked the whole top five system and the subscriptions. And if you go to the internet and go to www.top5, all spelled out, no numbers.com, you'll see the new site and be able to subscribe. And there's really cool stuff coming up. So, yay.
Cool.
Anyway, our list.
So, our top five night, which is actually 12.
Top 12 historical spam subject lines. This is if spam had been around in history.
Ah.
Yes.
Number 12. Order your British redcoats playing cards.
Now, that wasn't very enthusiastic.
Mm-mm.
90% off printing press cartridges. Works on all Gutenberg models.
Number 10. Earn up to 10 pence per fortnight. Knitting stockings at home.
Number 9. Slice up the pounds with Antoinette Cake Diet.
Number 8. Ugh! Please read. New brand berries for your cave paintings.
7. Ahoy! You're pre-qualified for 10 pieces of silver from Backbeard Landing.
Number 6. Augmenthen thy codpiece.
I like that one.
No.
Number 5. Buy your own island with no trinkets down.
Number 4. Strumpets, harlots, and unrepresented Slayton desires to meet thou.
Number 3. Urgent assistance needed by Mrs. Julius Caesar with 800,000 pieces gold.
Number 2. Discount mail order leeches delivered by plain brown baggie to your home without a barber's prescription.
And the number 1 historical spam subject line?
Urgent virus alert. Don't open the city gates for giant wooden horses.
And there's a double entendre there. Yes, because giant wooden horses would be called...
Giant wooden horses?
Yeah, okay. Well, the people that were inside the giant wooden horses were...
People inside the giant wooden horses?
Probably claustrophobic. They were Trojans, and a Trojan is another kind of computer problem.
I knew I could get her to say that.
What, the word Trojan? Dumb Criminals gave us some stuff this week.
Oh, Jesus.
From dumbcriminals.com. I love this. This one is called Lack of Intelligence Theft.
You will love this one.
Yes. Thanks to the increasing accessibility and widespread use of computers, identity and intelligence theft have become more rampant and more common. It's too bad this guy didn't try to steal some intelligence for himself. Someone who was already in jail on unrelated charges got an extra charge of theft for trying to steal one of the jail's computers, according to the Associated Press.
The suspect was already serving a sentence for a charge of larceny when he tried to steal the computer. Apparently, he wanted to research his record to see if he could get his parole board to let him off for time on good behavior. The judge who resentenced the suspect called it one of the dumbest crimes he ever handled in his entire career. The suspect agreed, calling himself not the best criminal. It's too bad he didn't plead stupidity, because the judge might have actually considered it as a viable plea.
Amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah.
And we have another one.
Aye.
And it's also about ID theft. ID theft stands for Ease dumb.
Okay.
It's too bad that identity thieves can't also steal the person's intellect as well. Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone who stole the identity of a state governor has been sending their purchases to the governor's office, according to the Associated Press.
The governor of West Virginia, of course, refused to accept the laptops because, well, he's a Mac. The FBI are tracking the whereabouts of the purchases and the people who allegedly made them. Let's see. A strange longer with the knowledge of computer hacking who buys nothing but computer... Is there a loser store in West Virginia?
Bad.
And why was it West Virginia?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I'm sorry, Kim. My best friend's from West Virginia.
Hey.
She takes a lot of heat for that.
All my cousins are from there.
You know what the three R's in West Virginia are?
I'm afraid to ask, but I will.
Reading, writing, and road to Akron.
I'm hitting my head against the microphone.
You're hitting your glasses against the microphone. That was from my mother. Please don't write and send emails. Story time. It's story time. It's story time.
Dun, 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 dun.
And this is from humorvault.com.
Okay.
Yeah. A language instructor was explaining to her adult class that French nouns, unlike their English counterparts, are grammatically designated as masculine or feminine. You know, like le and la. Things like chalk or pencil, she described, would have a gender association, although in English these words are neutral. Because there's le chat and la chien.
Yeah.
Cats are male, dogs are female in France.
Exactly.
Yeah. Puzzled, one student raised his hand and asked, what gender is a computer? The teacher wasn't certain what it was, and so divided the class into groups and asked them to decide if a computer should be masculine or feminine. One group was comprised of the women in the class, and the other were the men. Both groups were asked to give four reasons for the recommendation. The group of women concluded that computers should be referred to in the masculine gender because...
Number one, in order to get their attention, you have to turn them on.
Number two, they have a lot of data but are still clueless.
Number three, they are supposed to help you solve your problems, but half the time they are the problem.
I love making you read these, Joe. You don't know how much I love making you read these. Number four, as soon as you commit to one, you realize that if you had waited a little longer, you could have had a better model.
Exactly.
Your turn.
The men, on the other hand, decided that computers should definitely be referred to in the feminine gender because...
Number one, no one but their creator understands their internal logic.
Number two, the native language they use to communicate with other computers is incomprehensible to anyone else.
Three, even your smallest mistakes are stored in long-term memory for later retrieval.
Here, here. Number four, as soon as you make a comment to one, you find yourself spending half of your paycheck to accessorize on accessories for it.
Yes.
Two.
That does good. I'm liking Humor Vault.
I like Humor Vault. That's
Humor
funny.
Vault gave us a lot of stuff this time. We have just some jokes, some plain old jokes.
Good.
Yeah, from Humor Vault. Two male computer science students met on campus one day. The first student called out to the other, "Hey, nice bike. Where'd you get it?"
"Well," replied the second student, "I was walking to class the other day when this pretty young co-ed rides up to this bike. She jumps off, takes off all our clothes and says, 'You can have anything you want.'"
"Good choice," said the first computer science student. "Her clothes wouldn't have fit you anyway." Dun-dun-dun. So, Bill Gates is hanging out with the chairman of General Motors and says,
"If automotive technology had kept pace with computer technologies over the past few decades..."
Boastgate.
"You would now be driving a V32 instead of a V8, and it would have top speed of 10,000 miles per hour."
And Bill Gates then continued,
"Or you could have an economy car that weighs 30 pounds and gets 1,000 miles per gallon of gas. In either case, the sticker price of the new car would be less than $50.
In response to all this gloating, the GM chairman replied,
"Yes, but would you really want to drive a car that crashes four times a day?"
I like that. I really wish that was a real story, but I get the feeling it might not be.
I like that one.
And here's your thought for the day. I haven't lost my mind. It's just backed up on a disc somewhere.
That has got to be the geekiest thing.
Well, and if I know Dave, he'll probably put it on a DVD and give it to me eventually.
Yeah, at the most appropriate time, of course.
And we have the weekly rant from Cracked.com.
Spam, 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 spam.
Why did
spam,
I choose
spam,
this
spam,
topic?
Spam, spam, spam.
Spam comments.
See?
Are the bastard children of spam. Am I allowed to say that word on this radio station, David? No. Okay. Well, anyway.
The following comment has been censored.
The bad children of spam emails and naive young comment sections. Loved by neither parent, these comments are to be pitied as much as despised. Also, they will probably destroy humanity.
Great. How you can combat spam. There are two distinct schools of thought on how to combat spam. There's the traditional school and the cracked school. The traditional method generally involved deleting the comments once they appear, banning the account, posting them, and blocking the copy/paste text. These are tried and tested methods used by many websites to combat spammers.
However, the methods advocated by Crack.com are somewhat different in nature. Our method is rather more direct, usually involving chainsaws. Ooh. Of course, we're not suggesting that the next time you see a spam comment, you should attack your computer with a chainsaw. Actually, that's exactly what we're suggesting, because that would be so awesome.
Cool. Every day I open my email box in the hopes that a big-breasted Eastern European woman between the ages of 18 and 24 has discovered that she's loved with humor bloggers, or that a relative of mine, who I never knew about, died and left me millions of dollars.
Instead, I generally get a whole bunch of mail from big-breasted Eastern European women who want to sell me penis enlargement cream, and Nigerian princes who want to give me millions of dollars if I just send them 50 grand, which is almost as good. But the problem is I get thousands and thousands of these, and every time I try to respond, I usually just get more messages with the same offer.
So here, I answer six in hopes I'll be inundated with money and other cream immediately.
And these are screenshots, so I'll try to describe them. This one, the subject line is, "Dear, good mood to you. Hi, Helmut. Looking for wife? Life without soulmate is gray and unhappy. I know this because I am single. In my country, I didn't know any happiness with a man, and I believe my second half is far from me. Maybe this is you? Do you want to create a happy family with a pretty woman like me? Look at me and see more about me here at www.icantreadthat.com. Yep. Waiting for your response, Nastinya."
But first off, the name's Matt, not Helmuth, a common mistake considering the obvious similarities in spelling and pronunciation. Secondly, your name's Nastinya for serious? Sure, it's not Grosbeck. Or disgrunde, maybe revolt tenacity. I should be so mean to only half of the women, though. Where's your second half anyways? Is it in Pittsburgh? Is it Pittsburgh? Yeah, I wouldn't go there to get my torso either. Anyway, to answer your question, no, I'm not looking for a wife, or half of one in your case, to create a happy family with. I'm finding life without a soulmate to be more taupe. And marginally tolerable than gray and unhappy. And I can live with that.
Yeah. Here's the second one. I get these all the time. The subject line was account number from inquire@hasslefreequote.com. Thank you for inquiring about your mortgage rate. Feel free to visit our hassle-free quote website so we can review more specific information in order to reduce your current rate. The process takes less than a minute to complete, and we're happy to have this chance to save you even more money. The current rate, 3.81 to 4.92, and the average savings is $3,000 to $12,000 per year. Yours truly, hasslefreequotes.com.
Well, you know, I do what I can. You know, sometimes I just sit around and think to myself, hey, what's up with my mortgage rate? I mean, my mortgage, my home is so important to my life. Hey, wait a second. I'm an internet humorist. I don't have a mortgage. I don't even have money. I got my eye on you, buddy. Watch yourself. I bet your quote are loaded with hassles. That's how much I don't trust you now.
And the next one is a little challenge here. The entire screen is filled with Chinese characters.
Japanese,
I don't know. They're Asian characters, but there are exclamation points.
Japanese characters.
Exclamation points and little musical symbol notes. Musical note symbols. Anyway, your response to this one would be what, Joe?
You just might have a point there, Yoku, but consider this. If they were a remade Weekend at Bernie's with real-life dead guys, how will you get them to dance? How? How? Also, you don't mess with the classic, no matter how much red and pink text you use or how many musical notes you end your emails with.
Oh, my. We've got some lies of the day having to do with computers.
No.
Yes. And
lies?
Yes. Dave's Web of Lies employs a trained team of specialist researchers to trawl the world's information nets, seeking out falsehoods. The fruits of their labors are presented to you here. We constantly update this site for the latest lies for you to consume, safe in the knowledge that what you read is not true. And this is from Halife, HALIFE.com, and it's under Dave's Web of Lies. You can actually get the lie of the day emailed to you.
Cool.
Yes. Oh, there's a disclaimer.
Disclaimer. Whilst we have exhaustively examined each of our lies for any specks of truth and reject any found to contain even a glimmer of reality, we cannot guarantee that our lies are not, in fact, true.
So, first lie here. Badgers have tapped into underground phone lines and are responsible for much of the so-called spamming on Usenet. Remember, this is a lie. In a freak electronic catastrophe in 1997, all the servers in the world were overloaded at the same time. This caused a so-called parasite server in Anger to screen all incoming emails from Microsoft spam. Scientists warn that other systems might be affected in freak electronic tornadoes in the near future, which may halt the flow of hardcore porn.
I remember this is a lie. The USB cable in the back of a PC computer provides enough power output to fry an egg. USB frying pans are already available, but are due to become more popular when Microsoft Omelette is released next spring.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Oh, Jiminy Christmas.
Oh, my goodness. I have some ruminations.
Spam, 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 spam.
Oh, don't make him stop. Ruminations from ruminate.com from my good friend Travis Rutnick, who is in Hiroshima.
Why all the rum?
I don't know, because Chris White likes rum. This is the sister website of top5.com.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Travis writes, I can't wait to see what new prefixes are waiting to greet us non-technical types as our computers get more advanced. Me, I won't be satisfied until I have at least 3 shuma gigabytes of data available in less than 1 oink a second.
Oink a second?
Oink a second.
Mike Adams says, sometimes when I'm bored at work, I stare at my computer screen so long that it appears as if there were several small people staring back at me, like my counterparts in some other world far, far away. The realization that it's a reflection of my coworkers standing behind me laughing tends to diminish the romantic notion a bit, though.
Yes. Alan Bland writes, I visited Hormel.com and submitted a form for a free sample of their product, spam. But then the privacy disclaimer told me that I would not receive any spam. What's up with that?
Spam, 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 spam,
and
spam,
I found spam. A blessing.
Ew.
I found a blessing for our computers from everythingunderthemoon.net.
Cool.
Blessings on this fine machine. May its data be all clean.
Let the files stay where they put, away from disk drives keep all suit.
From its screen shall come no whines. Let in no spikes on power lines.
As oaks were sacred to the druids, let not the keyboard suffer fluids.
Disk fools shall be no more than rarity, the memory shall not miss its parity.
From the mortal shall come wonders, without line noise making blunders.
May it never catch a virus, and all its software stay desirous.
Let the printer never jam, and turn my output into spam.
I ask of Eris, noble queen, keep Murphy far from this machine.
Spam, 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 spam.
Are you going to do that till we're out of time?
Spam. Oh, you give me an opportunity to fuck with spam.
Here,
I mean, come on.
Please play the music, Dave.
No, we got to talk about more spam.
We have the top 11 signs your computer is possessed.
Spam. More spam.
Yes.
Okay, computers possessed. Number 11. Instead of flying a parenthesis, your screen shows horned demons torturing your immediate family.
Number 10, the monitor spins and spews pea soup when you access the Vatican website.
Number 9, Bill Gates' screensaver eyes follows your every move.
Number 8, keeps throwing priests out of windows.
Number 7, hard disk crashes every time Pat Robertson emails you.
And your computer is possessed when 6, green slime oozes out of the keyboard again and your kid hasn't used it in weeks.
Ooh.
I just got that one.
Number 5, tech support crews bring Nort utilities and a crucifix.
4, the little logo on it says Satan inside.
Ooh, number 3, no matter what URL you typed in, your browser opens up to www.hell.com website.
Number 2, spell checker automatically replaces Dr. Watson with Dr. Kevorkian.
Run. And the number 1 sign your computer is possessed?
Contrary to the startup screen, you're fairly certain Microsoft hasn't released Windows 666 yet.
Spam, 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 spam.
That's all we have for today. I'm Kat.
And I'm Joe.
And together we're...
Kat Soup.
The best of internet humor on the radio.
Have a great week.
Getting my dinner from a garbage can.